I want to do something just a little bit different the Lord impressed upon me. You know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to, teach converts, train disciples, in the Lord. And what I want to do just real quick is I want to ask these couple of these young fellas back here, my guys back in the sound booth, come up here for just a second. I just want to ask them to testify just for a second.
Amen.
And you say, Brother Mark, why are you doing that? Well, you don't want them to go through church their whole life and be afraid. The devil, he'll try to keep us quiet in church. He don't want us testifying. He don't want us raising our hands. A lot of things, and I'm not trying to make nobody do anything, but I think it's good to ask if they've got a word of testimony. Caleb, you got a word you can say for us? Go ahead. Come right on up here.
First, thank the Lord for saving me and all his blessings and being able to do stuff like play the piano at church, do the sound booth, and do stuff for the Lord. And thankful for all my friends that do support me and going to church and stuff, because I have some friends that don't go to church, and I pray for them, that they go to church. But thank the Lord for saving me and all his blessings.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord for saving me. I've been in church my whole life, and I was 12 or 13 when I really knew that I was going to hell. I'd always heard it, but it never was real to me until the Lord showed me.
Amen.
I just want to thank him for saving me.
Amen.
Praise God. That's a blessing, ain't it?
Amen.
And I'll tell you what will happen when the Lord speaks to them in a service. Here before too long, it won't be near as hard to just pop right up and say, I want to thank God for saving me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what the Bible said. Amen. And, thank God for the day that I learned. I can remember, I'll say this, and then I want to ask Brother Dye if you've got something on your heart. Be ready to come up here and preach to us for about 30 minutes. But I can remember being a young man, and I was not raised in church, and I didn't know anything about God. I was saved. I was saved, and I knew I was saved. And it was something in me that I wanted to be like my granddaddy. He had been a light to me. He had prayed over me and preached to me and loved me and prayed over me and prayed over me and prayed over me. And I can remember sitting, watching him worship the Lord and watching him pray. And, being young, I'd do just about exactly the same thing he was doing. The older you get, you just begin to realize, you don't have to take the very, you don't have to mimic anybody. But you learn what worship is and what praise is. And I can remember the first time I was in a revival meeting and saw people taking a running spell. And there was something in me that said, yeah, I'd like to do that. And but it took me a while before I got up the nerve. And I wasn't doing it on my own. The Lord really get a hold of me. I mean, really get a hold of me and say, right now be a good time to praise me. And just shout for joy. And I can remember the first time I did it. And boy, I was never so excited in my life. The joy that God filled up in me. I was just so happy. Didn't know what to do with myself. Took off running, got to the back door, didn't know what to do. Ran back up front.
Amen.
Sit down. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Go right ahead, brother. Yeah, go right ahead. My granddaddy would. And it was just, that was his relationship with God. He was either sitting in his chair with the Bible open, or he was either back in his room praying or back off in the woods praying. Somewhere, or he'd go up to a church and where they, you know, give him a key to the prayer room churches he'd pastored. He'd just get back in one of them prayer rooms and just pray and pray and pray. And my, how that don't leave you. Amen. I'm glad that it doesn't. I'm glad that it doesn't. That's part of my spiritual heritage that I'm really proud of, that God used that man to save me, to get a hold of me, and to get me to Jesus, the one that could save me. Amen. Bless the Lord. Come on, Brother Dime. Preach to us. Listen, men, it's okay. Anyone of you want to testify, or God moves you to say something, say it. All right. Fellas, you done give him that. All right. Pray for Brother Dye.
You too. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen.
Amen.
And I appreciate the testimonies, and appreciate the opportunity that God gives us to serve Him. And I don't take that lightly. Amen. I mean, we could be in bad shape ourselves tonight, somewhere strung out on drugs or something, but only by the grace of God, He saved us and redeemed us, and give us a purpose. Amen. A reason to be, and I'm thankful for that. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's pray for each other tonight. I appreciate the fact that somebody prayed for you a long time. Amen. Before you got saved. You might not even been aware of it, may never know who and all prayed for you. But I'm glad God takes notice of that. And if there's ever been a time when we as God's people have got to get back to just prayer, just talking with God, trusting God, it's easy to say that we pray, but how often do we pray? How sincere do we pray? And Israel needs our prayers. Our nation needs our prayers. And, amen, I myself can't change anything, but serve God that can.
Amen.
Amen. And so that's why we'll just trust Him. Amen. Open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 10, please. Matthew chapter 10. And we'll take our text there, but then I'm going to move over to the book of Luke, chapter 12. And try to just share with you what the Lord's laid on my heart tonight. Hope and pray it'll be a help. Amen. That's what we come to do. I was thinking this afternoon about iron sharpening iron. I'm going to work on that. I would like to have preached that tonight, but I'm not done with that yet. We take that a lot of times for granted that that's what the verse says, but there's a lot to that. And when you're thinking about iron in itself is one of the four most common materials on the planet. And men took a long time to learn how to use it, what it was for, what could be done with it. But iron by itself is not that strong. It really isn't. When you combine iron with other metals, then it becomes strong. And I don't want to get off on that. I just toying some things around there this afternoon in that, but I promise you there's a message there. Amen. More so than just what the verse says. I'm going to dig and scratch in that a little bit more, and we'll be ready to preach that someday when the Lord allows. Amen. But I'm glad that meetings such as this, we can use that verse and learn something about that verse. Amen. We all came because we need help tonight.
Yeah.
We didn't come to see or be seen. We came because we needed something from God. Amen.
Amen.
And so would you pray with me and pray for me as well? We're going to look at Matthew chapter number 10, and for the text verses, we begin in verse 29. The Bible said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. For some of us, he knows how many fell out. Amen. But watch this. He said, fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Lord, would you help us tonight? And God, help us, I pray, to be able, Lord, to hear from you. And God, do what needs to be done. And Lord, just get out of the way and let somebody else preach tonight. God, I thank you for the testimonies. I thank you, Lord, for your nearness, for your realness. Thank you, Lord, for your care, concern, and compassion. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We're totally dependent upon you tonight. I pray, God, not our will, but thine be done. You'd speak to each one of us as only you can. We'll thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Am I on now, gentlemen? Push the one button one time. Am I on now? All right. Good deal. Yeah, I sound a little better now, don't I? Amen. If I could just look better, it'd be all right, wouldn't it? All right. Well, I want to bring something to your attention. Now, I brought my little buddies out here. I want you to, well, sit here. Sit there and behave. We'll put one over here. Notice what the scripture said. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Our Lord was getting ready to send his disciples out. He was telling them that they would encounter a lot of things. Persecutions were inevitable. There were going to be several things that they had never encountered before that they would encounter, that they were now serving him. And he says several times within these verses to fear not. Back up in verse 26, he said, fear them not. In verse 28, he says, and fear not them. And then in verse 31, he said, fear ye not. There were some things that obviously they were going to encounter they had never encountered before that would cause fear to rise up in them. There's some things I think common sense would tell us we should be afraid of. Some people say, I have no fear. Well, they're either a liar or they've just not come to the realization yet that there's some things they ought to fear. There's some things that we should be afraid of. God won. And it's a kind of fear that, here's the thing, we fear God not because we're afraid of what God may take away, but we fear God because we know who He is. We know about His omnipotence, His omniscience. Amen. We know what our God's capable of. I don't want to fear God because I'm afraid He might destroy me or my family. I want to fear God because in a reverential fear of knowing who He is and what He can do, and knowing that He spoke and the heavens came into existence. Amen. What an all-powerful God that we serve. Amen. I was thinking about when you look at this text and these two little birds, these little sparrows, it says that they were sold for a farthing. Now, I want to mention something about value. We all have some kind of relation to things having a value. And he says that ye're of more value in verse 31 than many sparrows. The word value, of course, just means importance, worth, usefulness. But he says that these were valued at a farthing. In other words, about 2 cents or a penny apiece. That's what they're worth. Now, look, if you will, turn over just a few pages here to Luke chapter number 12. I find this interesting. Now, the Bible does not contradict the Bible. But a lot of times verses will share more light on a particular subject. And so in Luke chapter number 12, in verse number 5, Luke 12, just a few pages over, in verse 5, the Bible said, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five, watch this, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten
before God. And then he says again, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you're of more value than many sparrows. We were told in the text in Matthew that these sparrows are about a farthing each, or about a penny apiece. But in Luke, we find that there are now five sparrows. And it says that they are two farthings. In other words, 4 cents. So if you had five of these little guys, they are worth a penny apiece, but yet he's only getting 4 cents out of them. So that means that one by itself has absolutely no value. It's just thrown in, if you will. Now, these little sparrows, we can find something about them. First of all, we know that these sparrows in the Holy Land were a little bit different than ours. They're a little smaller, just little grayish-brown birds. Sometimes they were used in offerings. Sometimes they were cleaned and actually skewed up and eaten as kebabs. I mean, just something of no value. So even the poorest of the poor, if they couldn't have two turtle doves or something to offer, they could offer sparrows. But according to the Word of God, they all had great value to Him. If four of them was worth 4 cents and you were getting five, they throw the fifth one in for free, again, because it had no value. But according to the Word of God, God said that all of the sparrows, each and every one of them, had value to Him. There was no area where God was not concerned with one of them. Matter of fact, He said that in Matthew chapter number 10, in verse 29, notice what He said, if one falls to the ground, they don't fall without your Father. In other words, it may not have a value, humanly speaking, but to God, it had enough value that if one of them fell to the ground, He knew about it. And I got to reading that and put conviction on my heart about how many I used to kill with a BB gun, just killing birds. God knows about every one of them because they have a value to Him. And if He says if a little bitty bird that is insignificant to man has such value, He said you are of more value than many sparrows. As an individual, God's interested in you. I know these preachers and deacons and everybody else here tonight, and you're here because you love God and you know God loves you. But every now and then, we need to be reminded that God values you. God put value on you. Amen? Now, matter of fact, in verse 31, He said, you are of more value than many, many sparrows. Back in chapter 6 of Matthew, in verse 26, He said, but the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Think about the richest man on the planet couldn't feed the birds of the planet for a day. And yet God feeds them every day. It's just what He does. He takes care of them. If one of them falls to the ground, He's interested enough to take note about it. He knows when, He knows where, He knows how, and He knows why that it fell to the ground. Our Creator is that concerned with just a little bird. Then think about how much He must think about us. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but a lot of times people may say, how are you doing? And our response is, better than I deserve. And that's true. We don't deserve anything, but I have you to know tonight, our Father puts great value on us. We're a soul in His eyes. It's important to Him. Amen. How much does your Heavenly Father really care about you? If you go back to Leviticus chapter 27 and you talk about something that's demeaning, back in those days, if somebody made a vow unto God that they could not keep, they were valued, put on the block, if you will, and valued, and then they had to pay back whatever that debt or that loan was, whatever they were valued at for that piece of land, or the land itself was valued at, or the animal was valued at, that's what they had to stand an account for. Can you imagine the days of slavery when a man was put on a block? And I can't think of anything any more humiliating than that, and being judged for what you're worth. They were judged according, even in Bible times, they were judged according to their ability to work. Matter of fact, somebody under 20 didn't even have much value. Somebody over 59, I fit in that category a long time ago, don't have a lot of value. But for those from 20 to 59, they had a greater value. They could work. They could accomplish something. So therefore, there was a greater need, a demand, if you will, for those individuals. Matter of fact, if you looked at that prime age and considered how many things that people were considered precious, and people would actually purchase those. And we've all got things that's precious to us in our life. Women, I guarantee you, your wives have got curio cabinets or something set on a shelf. May not be of any monetary value to anybody else, but to them it's precious. And some of you have got the same stuff. Amen. You got guns in the cabinet that may have some value, but they may not have the value that you put on them. Amen. I mean, you may think, listen, I got a little toy. The only toy, to my knowledge, the only toy my daddy ever had was a little bronze World War II M1 rifle. Little bitty toy, bronze. I got it in a picture box frame. And to me, I wouldn't take $1 million for it. You say, preacher, you're crazy. Well, I may be, but I wouldn't take $1 million for it. It's the only toy he had. To me, that's special. And every one of us have got some things to me and to you that are sentimental. Therefore, we put a value on them that far exceeds what the worth really is. I guess houses and land sell a lot of times for far more than what they're worth. It's dirt, after all. But think about the values that is put upon it. Well, when the Lord is talking here about these birds and the value that's put upon them, I'm reminded of the fact that our Lord was valued at 30 pieces of silver. That's about $325 in our money today. I'm glad that 1 Peter reminds us that to us, He's precious. Amen. You couldn't put a value on our Savior. You couldn't limit Him to any one thing, because it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. We have life because of Him, and we have eternal life because of Him. What can we compare Him to? What can we limit Him to? As the psalmist said, if I made my bed in hell, you're there. If I am into the heights of the heavens, you're there. You can't limit God to any one thing, and to you and I mean, we our hope is all built on Him. Our foundation is Him. Our life is Him. Our eternal life is Him. Thank God for what He did for us on Calvary. And by the way, why did He do that? Because He valued you. If there hadn't been anybody else, He'd have died for you just the same. Heaven's best. For us, that's hard to imagine, isn't it? I mean, I can look at a little bird and say, I can see an insignificant value, but I can also see that in myself. For me. But I'm glad God looks at it differently. Isn't that quite amazing? He put such a value on us that He became not only our Savior, but He became our High Priest. Amen. I'm glad that He not only just paid our sin debt on Calvary, but I'm glad He's praying for us today. I'm glad He's interceding for us today. Many knows where we're at, what we need, when we need it, how we need it. Amen. He puts great value on us. Just as that Old Testament priest in the Old Testament went back into the Holy of Holies. Watch this. Every time he went into the Holy of Holies, he had Israel by name on his shoulders. And on the breastplate, he had Israel by name. Every tribe was named. Do you know the Bible reminds us that every star he ever created has a name, and he knows it? Amen. How much more value are ye than many sparrows? He knows your name. Hallelujah. Amen? And put such a great value on you that as our high priest, just as the Old Testament high priest went in before God and offered the names of the nation of Israel, our high priest in the heavenlies is calling out our names before the Father. Hallelujah. Amen? Thank God for the intervention of the high priest and the value that he puts on. I thought this was interesting. Our body, our human body, is comprised primarily of six elements. Oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, calcium, and phosphorus. If you dissected the human body and was able to pull each one of those elements out, you would get somewhere around $600 for each of those elements. Have you ever heard the statement, I'm worth more dead than alive? Well, if you sold body parts on the black market, the body's worth about $1 million. Individually, heart, lungs, limb, skin, different organs go for different prices. So the total amount of a human body on a black market is about $1 million. But in the world's eyes, we're not worth much. We may be worth more dead than alive. But our Father says that He puts such value on the worth of a soul because of this. And I'll be done. Watch this. Your soul is valued because of its eternal quality. You're only going to live forever. I mean, you're going to live in heaven or hell. You're only going to live forever. People in hell's going to live forever. They're just going to be in torment forever. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary because He put such a value on the human soul of every man. Your soul is valued because of the devil's interest in it. It would be his desire to damn us and destroy us. And because of that, God puts great value on your soul. God puts concern for our soul. God puts a value on our soul because of the severity of its loss. If God's so concerned about one little bird falling to the ground, how much more does it break the heart of God when somebody rejects the grace of God? Your soul is valued because of the price paid for its redemption. Amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a value that God put on our soul. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, the Bible says very quickly here this in verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. No wonder when Jesus said, fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows. He was telling a lesson. People valued sparrows at what? 5 for 4 cents, and the fifth one was free. But God said, fear not. You're of more value than many, many sparrows. I'll close with this little number. It's a statistic. You realize today, and I thought about this a while ago when you were talking about the gentleman who was holding a gun to his head. There are 5,000 people a year commit suicide in the United States. I work in our county with the sheriff's office, and I'm a chaplain. And I've had to work some of those suicides. And it's never a pleasant thing to do. But most of the time the families, why? I don't understand. Why? Well, it's hard to answer that at the moment for them, but I'll tell you why. Because the individual in that moment saw themselves as having no value. No value. No reason to live, no reason to continue on, because there was no value in them. 5,000 people a year commit suicide, and for every completion of a suicide, there's 200 to 300 that attempt it and that are not successful. We got an epidemic in this country among teenagers trying to take their life. You know why? because they see themselves as having no value. Maybe they're bullied. Maybe they're left out. Maybe they're looked down on. Maybe they just feel like they don't fit in. And all they need to hear is there's a God in heaven that puts so much value on them, so many more than many sparrows. And He's the answer that would fill that void in their life if they'd only receive it. Don't we have a wonderful message to tell? Amen. Thank God He puts such value on us. I can't even comprehend it. I can't measure it. I can't compare it. But I don't know about you, but it sure helped me when I went across that scripture and just seen how much value God puts on us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for speaking to our hearts tonight. God, You know what every heart needs, what every head needs to hear. And God, I pray that You'd continue to bless in the service tonight, help the men of God to go preach. And Lord, thank You for the meeting. Thank You for the fellowship. Lord, we do pray not our will, but Thine be done. We'll thank You and praise You for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a change we're seeing right before our very eyes. Why do people compromise? And why do... And something that I know and say, and we've got it in our family, you probably do too, is you raise your young people and teach them everything you know from as far as the Word of God. But my, they rebel. Seemingly go against everything they've ever been taught. There's so many people compromise. People's lowering their standards at a rate. And I mean, it's we a lot of times we point fingers at other denominations or whatever, but it's right in there with independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, premillennial churches today. I mean, the devil is making a sweep. And people's changing what used to be sin 5 or 10 years ago. People sweeping under the rug, and there's no change anymore. People are... And I want to say this. This is something that really broke my heart this last week. I was talking to this lady. Won't say who it is, but it was family connected. And she was bragging on her grandson. I said, well, he's got this, he's got that, he's got a good job, and they're buying a house. And then she went on to say, but I knew the situation. And what broke my heart is, I knew they was living together. They're living together, and she don't even have a divorce. And buying a house. But you know what she said? They go to church. Now, folks, that seemingly is what we've been getting swept into. It's just not out here. I mean, it's happening to some of the best people. It breaks my heart for men of God that stood and preached against fornication and adultery and preaching from matrimony to mortuary and the things that they used to stand and preach against and everything. They find themselves out here, they sweep everything aside, and that they're doing it themselves. Where's the standard today? I mean, my family's not exempt from it. Pray for my daughter and her husband, Sam. He's a pastor over at Grace. Loves the Lord. Doing a great work. Pray for him. He fell a few weeks ago, broke his leg. He had to do surgery on him. They put 2 plates in and 5 screws, and he had to stitch his out today. So pray for him. I think he preached last night before that first time in several weeks. But pray for their daughter, Rebecca. She knows better. I've seen that girl. I mean, God's give her a gift to play. She can hear a song one, no more than 2 times, sat down, never miss a note on the piano. God's blessed her with a talent. And we were so prayerful, you know, for her. And I said, oh, my. And you just think, boy, she'd make a young preacher a good wife to go on in the ministry. She got under some bad influence on a job. She's living in sin, and so it's just a sad time. And I said all that to say this: I mean, and I did. I got to thinking about these things, and it burdens our heart. It ought to. We should still hate sin. Sin's still sin. Whether it's in my home or your home or anybody else's, we need to stand against sin. And not very popular today, but it's still right. But you know what? I was really burdened. I've seen these things happening, Brother Mark. And I just got along with God. I said, Lord, help. David, he prayed for help. We need to pray for help. And but you know, there's one thing that the Lord showed me. Why is people slipping away? Why is people turning? And the Lord began to deal with me with this. And one of the songs that we sing a lot of Fanny Crosby songs. I got to thinking about Near the Cross. Near the cross. Draw me near. Draw me near. That place where thy house died. You know what the Lord showed me, and it could happen to me, it could happen to you, but when we lose sight of the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, it can happen to either one of us. We tried preaching along this line Sunday, but it's still on my heart. But I want to say tonight, praise God, there's still power in the blood. It's still the blood. And it don't matter who you at, where you at, how rich or poor you are, what nation you're in, every person, as we sit here tonight and across this world, those that are saved, like you say, whether you're poor or rich or anything else, we come to exactly the same place, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But I got to thinking about that, and this is a familiar passage of Scripture. But I've been in this thing a little over 40 years. Don't think in my whole life the Lord ever brought it real to me. As He did a few days ago. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, and you could probably quote these verses. Verse number 18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Let's pray. Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come to you. Lord, that you'd touch our hearts tonight and realize that so many times we slip away from the reality of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to keep, we would keep near the cross. That we'd be able to wire the path out between us and Calvary to be reminded of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that brought us to the place of redemption. You brought it convicted of our sin, lost and on our way to hell, separated from God. But the only thing that could bridge that gap between God and man was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way to keep our eyes and our hearts upon you and keep us out going in the ways of the world and being able to accept the sins and all the fads of this world is to keep our eyes on Jesus and be able to keep the reality of the blood of Christ fresh on our heart and in our mind, and when we're tempted to slip, when we're tempted to go away from you, Father, that we would be reminded what took place there on Calvary, what took place as you shed your precious blood, that it was good enough to cover us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, help us as we leave this place tonight, that when the trials get tough, things don't go our way, we see people falling into sin and going in the wrong way, that would be reminded of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Direct us tonight in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Amen. I just want to mention a few things and we'll be done. I remember the day that I was convicted of my sin. I realized I was lost and on my way to hell. Jesus passed me by and I claimed the blood. I didn't get saved because I went to the altar and cried. I didn't really get to, saved and just because I was sorry for my sin. It was because of the fact that I realized that my sin is going to take me to hell and I needed forgiveness for it. And the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that can cleanse me of my sin. And what a blessing it is that we can claim that, the precious blood. And I didn't even think about doing this. And I just I thought of it a while ago. I do this for the kids sometimes. You know, and some of you may not be able to say that, but tell me what that says there. All righty. See that? But boy, when the blood is applied, what do you see? That's what, praise God, that's what he done for me. Amen. He covered my sin. I'm just going to mention a few things. We could turn to a lot of verses. We won't turn tonight. What makes something precious? The circumstance of the need. And when does water taste the best to you? When you're thirsty. I can honestly say I was thirsty at one time in my life that I thought I wasn't going to make it. It was my fault. I'd hunted this place before, and it's several years ago, and some of you, I don't know if you know where it's at, but you go on Beaver Creek Road about halfway around there. It's about 5 miles. You go on the end of it, drop off, it's Porterfield Gap. But you cut off there, and anybody know where Kazad Gap is? Well, I was back in our turkey hunt. I'd hunted in there before, and you go up to the gap, and there's a road, a little trail, a fire trail. It was zigzags in, a bunch of hollers out through there. Well, I stayed on top and went off the top back into a toy knob back in there. And it'd been pretty good to me and everything. There's a little silent. I said, well, I'm going to hunt the way back out. I dropped off that mountain. And it's like this. But I said, I'll just hit that little trail down there and go back to the gap. And boy, it won't be no problem. I dropped off. I walked and I walked. And I went downhill and I went downhill. I turned around and I looked. And I said, I must have missed the road. But I'd been gone past it. So anyway, I don't know exactly how it happened, but I dropped off on the right-hand prong of Webb Creek. I'd run out of water. I got down onto the main road, walking back to where you go up to the gap. I walked and I walked and you could put flour in my mouth. And you've ever been that thirsty before? I've been pretty close to our time or two in the hay field. Say amen right there when you're putting up squire bales. Amen. And been there. But anyway, I got back around, walked from the road up to the gap, was about a mile and a half. I got in the truck, but I was out of water. And all that way of going, all the branches had dried up, and I couldn't get there. But I tell you, I was getting in bad shape. And really, I just got to the point of that about to dip in the tip of your finger in water and cool my tongue, you know. I marked a place, I come out of the woods, I walked to the gap, got in a truck, and drove to that spot where I hung the can up on the bush there and some hemlocks, a little over 7 miles. I was thirsty. Well, I tell you, I went to, you know, I could have went around a turn or two and got in this another hemlock collar, little old branch there. And over about when the Gideon chose how to, you know, chose the 300, I wasn't a bit ashamed of it. I laid down and I lapped like a dog. Never in my whole life water tasted. Why? Because the circumstance made it precious. Do you know what made the blood of Jesus Christ precious? Yeah. Oh, the circumstances of it, amen. And I'm just going to mention these for the sake of time. I know some of you maybe work today and tired. I just want to mention a few things because it's precious. Well, boy, food's real precious and you get hungry. By the way, I was getting pretty hungry too. Don't take long with me. And that's, you know, I usually take plenty of snacks with me now, whatever. But we say that the blood of Christ is precious because it's the redeeming power. Our righteousness is filthy rags. We're as helpless and hopeless as could be. But because of the circumstance, because I was lost and on my way to hell, there's nothing in this world right now any more precious than the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's more precious than all the gold you could pack in Fort Knox. You could stack up, if you could, I don't know how much, $1 billion or million, whatever, but if you had nothing in this whole stage stacked to the ceiling with $1,000 bills, it wouldn't even scratch the surface on how precious the blood of Christ is. Because it's the only thing that can redeem our soul. And from a devil's hell, set us apart. Amen. And so praise God that it's also precious because of its cleansing power. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. Oh, it's precious because it's the only thing that can cleanse me. People prayed for me. People, no doubt, and I heard the preaching of the Word of God. But it's when I called upon Him and He cleansed me. Personally, my heart, my sin cleansed me because I called upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's precious because of its power. It's precious because of its redeeming power. And it's also precious because of the redemption we find in Colossians 1 and 14 because I owed a debt I couldn't pay. We're bought with a price. Brother Dye mentioned, we're bought with a price. What's that price that was paid? The blood of Jesus. Boy, it's precious tonight. But you know the reason why people are living and going back into the sin and doing the thing, they're losing sight of the blood. I believe if we keep the sight of the blood, realize how precious it is, how powerful it is to redeem and to cleanse and to redeem us from our sin. It's precious enough to us. I believe we want to live right. I believe I think the old timers called it backsliding. People get to that backslidden state. They don't care anything about God. They go through formality. They go to church. There's no power. They leave church and go back out into the world, and nothing's wrong anymore. The Bible says that we see that Isaiah, he mentioned, we're there, brother, then there come a day when they call evil good and good evil. We're there. Homosexuality's not wrong anymore. That fellow telling me the other day that there's a preacher coming out of the closet. I think in the Methodist church, I said, oh my. I said, hey, just hold on. If a person goes in the way of that broken relationship with God, it don't matter who it is, it could happen to anybody. I tell you what, it's because of the precious blood that we need to maintain the right relationship with Him. And when we're tempted to do something we shouldn't, boy, we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would take us back to Calvary, back when we got saved, because I still believe fornication. I still believe it's just as much a sin to shack up as it is as it was 10 or 20 years ago. And we see all the ungodly fads today, or young people flipping out over them and going, and most of it, I got one right here, but right here is the downfall of so a lot of people. I got one, you got one, but I tell you what, don't let it control you. Don't let it control you. I mean, it's dividing families, and it's taking preachers out of the pulpit, and it's how sad it is. But it's because they've lost sight of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's precious because it's cleansing. But over in Colossians 1 and verse 20, it's precious because it's the only thing that can give peace. Only thing. Money won't give it. I just heard, I had a little message thing on my phone, headline news. The biggest lottery, anybody ever hear about it? The biggest lottery tickets ever been sold was sold in California the last few days. Broke every record. $1.7 billion. I got something that's more precious. He could stock that thing up in banks and all of that. But I tell you what, it won't buy 1 second in eternity. How far as heaven. He could have 20 billion till going to die and go to hell. It's nothing. People say, oh, it's so precious. It's so precious. And can I say right here, just throw in saying, and it's something that people's condoning like crazy and everything, I still believe it's a sin to gamble. Gain money or anything by false pretense or whatever, filthy lucre, you study it out, it's still a sin.
Right.
I know some people that goes to the casino and everything, they'll go and go to church on Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah.
Something wrong.
Yep.
And can I say this too while I'm meddling a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just not going to go there and eat because it's good.
Right. Right. Amen.
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 I'm not going to go with it. I know a church lady, my wife, talked to this lady about it. And said, oh, my son just loves to bowl. Here they were active members in a local church. And said, we took some of the kids down to the casino to bowl. Everybody, most of you know my wife. She done it as tactful and everything. But basically said, you don't have any business doing that. I think the Bible still says to shun the very appearance of evil.
Right, right.
Amen.
Right.
And we say it's precious because of its redeeming power. We say it's precious because it's cleansing power. We say it's precious because the power it has to bring lasting peace. Praise God for the peace that we can have in our. And then also Ephesians 2 and 13, it's precious because of its reconciling power. Power in the blood. Anybody reckon? Hey, we're separated from God. God here, man here. There's a great gulf fixed between. No way we can pass. We're separated from God, lost on our way to hell. But thanks to Calvary. Thanks to Calvary, the cross was laid and it brought God and man together. Praise God for the power in the blood. And I won't have time to go into this and everything, but you can maybe think about it. Go over to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19, because praise God, it's precious tonight because it assures me and you of sonship. I may not look like much tonight. I know I'm just a human being, but I want to say, as a song says tonight, I'm a child of the King. One day I got adopted into the family of God. He chose me. I was unworthy, undeserving as can be, but He chose me. He said, I died for you. I prayed for you on Calvary in your mind. I think if we're a child of God, we ought to act like it. We ought to act like it. So I tell you what, if your relationship with the blood is a problem, you need to get it fixed. Need to get it fixed, because it's the only thing that's going to stand between us and all these other compromising preachers or whatever. It's gone in the wrong way, condoning sin, and it's going to, it'll never lose its power.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Mark.
Amen.